Welcome to the PRI Review, brought to you by the Population Research Institute. I'm your host, Christopher Mannion. First, some big news. It is now proven that injectable contraceptives like Depo-Provera increase the risk of HIV transmission. That doesn't mean can increase, it means do increase. A recent meta-analysis conducted in collaboration with the Population Research Institute reviewed a total of 24 studies published in peer-reviewed journals and found a significant increased risk of acquiring HIV when using Depo-Provera and other injectables. Injectable contraceptives are commonly used worldwide, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, where the prevalence of HIV is sky high. International aid programs that are providing DMPA contraceptives to areas with HIV prevalence may be contributing to this very spread of this awful disease. Well, what is Depo-Provera? What is DMPA? Okay, I'm only going to say this once. DMPA stands for dipolmedroxyprogesterone acetate. That's the active ingredient in Pfizer's abortifacient, and we're going to call it DMPA here. Here's the abortifacient, Depo-Provera. It's a pharmaceutical brand owned by Pfizer, and it is the most widely used injectable contraceptive worldwide. Its active ingredient is also found in several other popular DMPA injectables. DMPA injectables prevent pregnancy for 3 months. Studies have shown, however, that Depo-Provera can delay a return to fertility for much longer, up to 31 months. Now, DMPA consists of large doses of artificial steroids that prevent follicular maturation and ovulation. DMPA has been noted to maintain thick cervical mucus, which prevents fertilization. DMPA also causes endometrial thinning, which makes the uterine lining hostile to blastocyst implantation in the event that an egg does become fertilized. What is the associated risk of acquiring HIV with DMPA? Well, the recent meta-analysis found the associated risk of acquiring HIV with DMPA usage was significantly higher than for women who did not use DMPA-based injectable contraceptives. DMPA was found to increase women's risk of contracting HIV by 49% compared to women not using steroidal or hormonal contraceptives. The vast majority of the studies we looked at confirmed that there is a positive association between HIV acquisition and DMPA use. These findings are confirmed in two other meta-analyses published that were also appearing in 2015. So the verdict is in. DMPA abortifacient use significantly raises the danger of HIV infection. Well, just how does DMPA increase that risk? Researchers are not entirely certain why women who use DMPA injectables contract HIV at higher rates than the general population. A number of likely mechanisms of action have been proposed. DMPA is an artificial steroid made to mimic the effects of natural endogenous progesterone, a hormone that helps regulate the menstrual cycle. This hormone is crucial during the pregnancy for the health of the baby. One of the effects of progesterone is to attenuate the immune system's inflammatory response to allow the body to accept the embryo during pregnancy. This attenuation of the immune system could also make it easier for the HIV virus to cause an infection. There are other impacts as well. Be sure to read all the science and details on our website, pop.org. Well, has this changed the approach of government agencies involved in international aid programs, the UN and NGOs that promote DMPA contraception overseas? Alas, not really. International aid programs and non-governmental organizations, NGOs for short, have largely ignored the recent evidence suggesting a strong association between DMPA and HIV acquisition. In spite of the evidence indicating an associated risk, government agencies and NGOs continue to provide over $75 million U.S. dollars per year in DMPA injectables, mostly to sub-Saharan African countries. Now, this is critical. Sub-Saharan Africa, where the church is growing more than anywhere else in the world, is also a target of the population controllers and the enemies of church teaching. In fact, 70% of injectable contraceptives procured by international aid programs in 2012 and 2013 were aimed at these sub-Saharan countries, and the number is rising rapidly with every passing year. And there are, tragically, results. It is astounding that, in most of southern sub-Saharan Africa, more than 10% of young adults are infected with HIV. The United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, and the United States Agency for International Development, AID, have been the two biggest players in procuring DMPA-based injectable contraceptives in developing countries. From 2012 to 2013, international aid programs and NGOs shipped over 130 million vials, ampoules, and syringes for injectable contraceptives to sub-Saharan African countries. Well, what's the solution here? At present, the research clearly indicates that women who are exposed to DMPA in developing countries and in regions where HIV prevalence remains high are placed at a significantly greater risk of contracting HIV. Those involved with decision-making in international aid programs should take note of the strong association between DMPA and HIV and should consider the evidence on the issue when planning and implementing aid programs. In the interest of public health, government agencies and the UNFPA should cease providing funding for DMPA injectable contraceptives at least until or unless it can be proven that DMPA does not place women at a greater risk of acquiring HIV. In the light of the evidence, the World Health Organization should revise its current recommendation that DMPA be provided without restriction, even to women at risk of contracting HIV. WHO's denial of an association between HIV and DMPA is contrary to the proof that our data has presented. The failure on the part of the WHO to recommend that women be provided with accurate information as to the risks associated with DMPA is inexcusable and deplorable. AIDS and HIV prevalence remains high throughout much of the sub-Saharan Africa, and the continued promotion of DMPA without informing women of the significant risks involved in its use constitutes a violation of fundamental human rights. This discovery is vital to the health and well-being of the people of Africa. Our government aid agencies consider these people only as impediments to development because they are so poor. They are family-oriented and they are child-centered. It is our duty to protect them from the selfish, well-funded programs that are in violation of human rights and peddled to them by secular governments throughout the West. Be sure to look at our website, pop.org, for the details, references, and bibliography of this truly groundbreaking study. When we come back, we'll hear from Steve Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute, on developments in China. This is PRI Review from pop.org. Here's some great news. PRI has now released the notorious Planned Parenthood organ trafficking videos in Spanish. That's right. The struggle against Planned Parenthood needs to go global, and you can help make it happen. If you have a Spanish-speaking friend, at home or abroad, please let them know. Here's the story. This summer, the Center for Medical Progress revealed to the world the deep-seated corruption pervasive in Planned Parenthood, one of the world's largest abortion providers. To date, 10 videos have been released showing senior executives of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America, PPFA, at various stages in the process of harvesting and selling the organs of aborted babies. Planned Parenthood, a taxpayer-funded organization that receives over $500 million a year from the U.S. government, is supposed to be dedicated to the health and welfare of women. But as many have pointed out lately, PPFA doesn't do a single mammogram. Their clinics aren't licensed to. What Planned Parenthood does do is abort hundreds of thousands of unborn Americans every year. And we know that many of its clinics are in the business of selling baby body parts, generally without the consent of their mothers. In their greed, Planned Parenthood clinics even put women's lives at risk by altering abortion procedures so that especially lucrative parts and pieces of the aborted children's bodies can be delivered intact and sold. The videos released by the Center for Medical Progress have had a huge impact in English-speaking world. Each video has garnered over 1 million views on the Center for Medical Progress webpage alone, while tens of thousands have seen the entire 3 hours of footage. Unfortunately, slow internet speeds and language barriers have prevented people outside the United States from watching these videos. This is why the Population Research Institute has produced a series of videos with Spanish subtitles, short enough to be viewed with ease in the Spanish-speaking world. Now, all of Latin America will have the opportunity to learn the truth about Planned Parenthood. Each video unveils a new level of corruption within the abortion business. In the first video, Deborah Nucatola, Senior Director of Medical Services PPFA, can be seen sipping wine and eating salad while she describes how she obtains intact organs. And I quote, "I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact." End quote. Another shows the president of Planned Parenthood's Medical Directors Council haggling over the price of organs. "I want a Lamborghini," she says. In another, a former STEM Express employee describes how she was forced to cut the brains out of a baby's head while its heart was still beating. Now that PPFA's illegal organ sales have been exposed, they are starting to backtrack. The organization has now announced that it will no longer accept monetary reimbursement, their words, for procuring baby parts. Instead, they will harvest the organs of babies for free. This is tantamount to admitting that they were earlier breaking the law. And it is still not free, at least to the American taxpayers who pay hundreds of millions of dollars to fund the evil empire of abortion. Finally, there is the issue of informed consent. As the videos make clear, Planned Parenthood's employees routinely harvest the organs of their little victims without asking their mothers for permission. Isn't it the woman's body? We also see how abortionists modify the abortion procedure in order to better obtain what they call a specimen. We even hear them admitting to performing illegal partial birth abortions where babies can be delivered alive so that their organs can be extracted fresh and intact. Isn't it the woman's choice whether her baby's remains are to be treated in this way? These women don't choose and they don't consent, and the little girls and boys who are being butchered for their organs have no say at all. Please help PRI let Spanish-speaking mothers all over the world see these videos. Just go to our website, pop.org, and click the Donate button today. You'll be glad you did. Next up, Steve Mosier has warned the U.S. Naval Sea Systems Command of the growing threat from China. Mosier, president of the Population Research Institute and expert on China, spoke recently at the Naval Sea Systems Command, NAVSEA, headquarters in Washington, D.C. Mosier was invited as part of NAVSEA's Distinguished Speaker Series. He told the command leadership and staff that Beijing is not only making absurd territorial claims, building artificial islands, and creating administrative units to bolster them, but is now militarizing these features as fast as it is able with military runways, radar facilities, surface-to-air missiles, and now military aircraft. China does not seek to peacefully integrate into the existing world order, Moser said, but to supplant it. Its goal is to replace the U.S. as the reigning hegemon, and it will be forestalled and peace maintained only through the countervailing strength of America and its Asian allies. Moser, a former U.S. Navy officer who served with the 7th Fleet during the Vietnam War, went on to say that China is using diplomatic and economic coercion, propaganda, cyber intrusions, proxies, and other indirect applications of military power to engage in hostile acts against America. China is engaging in a cold war against the United States, Moser insisted, and it is past time that we recognized and responded in kind. The Naval Systems Command, located at the Washington Navy Yard in Washington, D.C., is the largest command in the United States Navy and is responsible for designing, building, and maintaining the ships, submarines, and combat systems that defend America. NAVC accounts for about a quarter of the Navy's annual budget and plays a crucial role in maintaining America's fleet. In 1979, Moser became the first American social scientist to visit mainland China. Be sure to get his indispensable book, Hegemon, China's Plan to Dominate Asia and the World. There he clearly lays out China's grand scheme to become the world's dominant power, a scheme that is coming ever closer to completion. Meanwhile, instead of addressing the dangers posed by his Chinese neighbors, Korean native and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is reaching the end of his tenure this year, and he wants to go out with a bang. He is desperate to make sure that the so-called UN development goals include abortion and LGBT rights. Moon hopes to pull this off by sticking those canards into the UN's so-called Sustainable Development Goals. Now, this is a massive, new 15-year development plan that population controllers consider their most promising opportunity and weapon to force abortion and gender ideology on the world. Their targets? The poor, especially Christians everywhere who believe in life, family, and freedom. This multi-billion-dollar farce is being foisted on the world by elites whose attitude is, there are just enough of us and way too many of you. Moon insists that priority be given to providing women and adolescents with comprehensive sexual and reproductive health services without discrimination. And that is a code word for abortion on demand, free and worldwide. Like most advocates of aborting the poor, this overpaid apparatchik won't quit. He's going for broke. Providing abortion is an obligation under humanitarian law and the laws of war, he insists. The laws of war? Well, at least he's honest. After all, he is launching a war on the poor and the unborn worldwide. And he's not the only one. Catholic World News reports that a minimum of 9,000 to 11,500 Christians have been killed in Nigeria alone, and that 1.3 million Christians there have fled their homes since the year 2000, and that 13,000 churches have been closed or destroyed altogether. Perhaps someone can ask Mr. Moon about that. Let's face it, the fix is in. Moon wants to force abortion and gender ideology into the UN Sustainable Development Goals and make them indelible. He does not attempt to hide his contempt for third world families and especially their religious leaders who condemn his entire nefarious enterprise as a violation of human rights, human dignity, and the laws of nature and of nature's God. Death and destruction will be his legacy as he sails off into the sunset to meet his maker. Elsewhere in the world, here's some news from England. Our friends at England's Voice of the Family report that Vincent Cardinal Nicholls, Archbishop of Westminster, is being considered as a candidate to head the Vatican's new dicastery, which will be responsible for laity, family, and life. This is troubling, they report. After all, Cardinal Nicholls' approach to Catholic teaching on human sexuality has caused the pro-life, pro-family movement grave concern for many years. Serious questions have been raised about his approach to issues as diverse as abortion, contraception, the rights and status of the embryo, sex education, homosexual unions, and the reception of the Eucharist by the so-called divorced and remarried. The possibility that Cardinal Nicholls might be appointed is especially alarming because this new congregation will replace three major Vatican cabinet offices, the Pontifical Council for the Laity, the Pontifical Council for the Family, and the Pontifical Academy for Life. Pro-life, pro-family groups share a justifiable fear that his dissent from Catholic teaching will seriously weaken the Church's witness worldwide. Why would a Catholic group go on the public record about their own cardinal archbishop? Well, they have a very reasonable concern that his dissent from Catholic teaching would seriously weaken the Church's witness worldwide. And that dissent is particularly striking, they report. Given his public dissent from the Church's teaching and his equally public support for the radical homosexual movement, it would seem impossible that Cardinal Nicholls could give Pope Francis the support he needs at this vital hour when the true understanding of marriage is in crisis across the world. It is equally inconceivable that somebody who so openly opposes Catholic teaching could inspire his fellow cardinals, bishops, priests, and laity in their work for the defense of human life, marriage, and the family. Voice of the Family asks us all to pray that the Holy Father will appoint a courageous witness to Catholic teaching on life and the family to this new position. And that's a request we can't refuse. Now here's some more international news, this time from Switzerland. LifeSite News reports that Pope Francis has appointed a traditionalist as nuncio to Switzerland, and now the knives are out. The progressive fringe of Swiss German-speaking Catholics. Now remember, the Swiss speak French, Italian, and Switzerdutch too. Well, the Swiss fans of German liberal theologians are angry at the recent nomination of a new papal nuncio to Bern, and they're making themselves heard. In an open letter to the new ambassador of the Holy See, two priests from Bern, the German-speaking capital of Switzerland, insist that Archbishop Thomas Gullikson must show enough sensitivity in order to perceive the realities of the Church in Switzerland. End quote. The pair accuse him of pastoral imprudence in proposing to shut down parishes that don't have priests, and of course they all want dialogue. But behind it all lurks a condemnation of Archbishop Gullikson's loyalty to the traditional teachings of the Church, especially in the moral sphere. As usual, the community organizers have jumped into action. A group of lay Catholic so-called reformers have formed an alliance called Enough. You can say that again. Things got even worse from their point of view when the nuncio applauded Peruvian Cardinal Juan Luis Cipriani, the marvelous Archbishop of Lima, who criticized UN bureaucrats who are promoting the legalization of abortion because of the Zika virus scare. Cardinal Cipriani called these apparatchiks Herods in suits and ties, end quote. Well, the Swiss left can't stand Archbishop Gullikson because he loves a reverent liturgy, the Latin Mass, and other treasures of the Church that have led his Swiss detractors to accuse him falsely of being a follower of the priestly fraternity of St. Pius X. The 12 so-called Catholic groups forming this alliance claim to be working for a liberating and inclusive Church. Of course, that means they want to be liberated from the Ten Commandments. Nothing new there. So, they've accused the Archbishop of hate speech. Well, we knew that was coming. and of constituting a menace for the unity of the Swiss Church. One Marcus Arnold accused Gullickson of radical 19th-century preaching. Arnold is head of the Religious Education Department of Luzern University. Well, let's not send our kids there. Now, what's really the problem here? Well, a number of Swiss Catholics don't like the Archbishop's fidelity to the faith. They don't like his blogs, they say. Blogs? What's going on? Here's the answer. Their bishop, Vitus Huonder, will be 75 next year and will have to present his resignation. And who always plays a role in the nomination of his successor? The papal nuncio. These Swiss progressives, that usually means leftists, by the way, are afraid he will be replaced by a prelate who will continue to teach the sinfulness of homosexuality. An action. Not the tendency, but of homosexual acts. Archbishop Huonder has gone on record as saying that homosexuals, as well as couples living together outside of marriage, if they are violating the Sixth Commandment, they may not receive Holy Communion. Now, it's clear that most of these folks are not homosexuals. They might not even approve of sodomy. But the vast majority of them do contracept, and they know that if the homosexual acts of others, by nature sterile, are condemned as sinful, then down the line, so will their own contraceptive lifestyles. That's why they're shouting enough. After all, the truth hurts. When we come back, we'll take a look at news from other parts of the world. This is PRI Review from pop.org. By now, we all know that Planned Parenthood is accused in the United States of allegedly violating the law by, among other atrocities, selling baby body parts. But what you might not realize is that Planned Parenthood's affiliates, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, PPFA, and International Planned Parenthood Federation, IPPF, are still getting away with murder overseas. Around the world, and especially in Latin America, the baby-killing giant shades the truth about its abortion-related activities. It runs roughshod over local anti-abortion laws and violates local pro-life sentiment, all with seeming impunity. But not anymore. With your tax-deductible year-end gift, PRI will throw the book at the abortion giants overseas, just as pro-life groups are doing here at home. Did you know that PPFA spends about $38 million a year lobbying to legalize abortion in countries around the world? If they're successful, they can kill as many, if not more, babies overseas as they do in the United States. But there's a hitch. Because abortion remains illegal in most Latin American countries, neither IPPF nor PPFA is eligible for government funding for abortion-related activities as they are in the United States. So PPFA, IPPF, gets around it as only they know how to do, by lying. With a wink and a nod, they disguise the programs they are funding as, quote, education or health programs, women's right, human rights protection or promotion, and anti-discrimination initiatives aimed at protecting vulnerable groups such as women or LGBTs, that means lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, end quote. Catholic bishops throughout Africa and Latin America complain about this. They call it ideological imperialism, but their voices are not heard in Congress because America's bishops depend on billions in government funding for their own charities. They don't want to bite the political hand that feeds them. Now, PRI receives no government funding, so we aren't hampered by golden handcuffs. That's why your tax-deductible gift to PRI is so important today. As the lead group investigating Planned Parenthood's activities overseas, PRI's Latin American office has uncovered PPFA's thinly disguised efforts to undermine pro-life laws and legitimate abortion on demand. But we've only found the tip of the iceberg, and there is more work to be done, work that we can't do alone. Your tax-deductible gift will help PRI hire a seasoned pro-life legal team to help us expose, investigate, and prosecute Planned Parenthood's affiliates everywhere they prey on women, especially overseas. Together, we'll expose, investigate, and prosecute PPFA and IPPF everywhere it tries to hide the truth. This two-prong attack, complementing the hearings taking place in Washington, will force Planned Parenthood to fight on two fronts. What better way to strike a blow against the real Planned Parenthood, the one we saw in all those horrific videos, than to come at them here and abroad? So please make a tax-deductible gift to support this and all of PRI's baby-saving efforts around the world. Yes, they're powerful. Yes, they're big. But remember, David and Goliath, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Now comes some news with more than a little dollop of irony. Japan and France now have robots performing an increasing number of vital functions in commerce and in society. Here we have the leaders in the race to reach the demographic winner, Japan and France, and they are responding not by having children, but by exporting labor to third world countries or hiring robots to do those jobs that cannot be exported and for which they have no children to fill. Why is this? Well, Japan does not import labor. It does not encourage immigration and assimilation. And at the same time, the Japanese are having fewer children every year. Now, France, where the birth rate is also at an all-time low, France is very reluctant to allow any more immigrants than it already has. If you take one look at the port of Calais, which used to be a beautiful seaside resort, it is now a war zone. Forget immigration. For Japan and France, both robots are their future. Now, in the United States, robotics is used differently. We import cheap foreign labor that is accustomed to corrupt governments at home and minimal living standards. In the U.S., robotics is used differently. We import cheap foreign labor that is accustomed to corrupt governments and minimal living standards in the countries they came from. So we have no need for robots there in the United States. Where U.S. industry does need robots is to replace the skilled American workers who have reached an educational level that immigrants have not. And for instance, the average Mexican and Central American immigrant that comes to the United States has a third grade education. And that's why government schools everywhere are suddenly bursting at the seams. In the greater Washington area alone, there are probably 100 different languages and dialects represented in the schools. And every major language group, dozens of them, every language group has its own street gang or more than one. So, the future is grim if we don't have children. After all, if there are no children, there is no future. Now, here's a special announcement. Yes, now it's official. Not only does Planned Parenthood sell the body parts of babies it's aborted, they demand a special price for intact brains from babies they haven't poisoned first. That's right. According to the latest video from the Center for Medical Progress, a Planned Parenthood affiliate alters the abortion procedure in California, sometimes delivering children intact, and provides fetal organs to a company that charges $750 for babies' brains on the open market. Here's the story from LifeSite News. Once again, the setting is a lunch table. Jennifer Russo, the medical director and chief abortionist at Planned Parenthood of Orange and San Bernardino counties in California, is the special guest. Now, you remember Planned Parenthood's Deborah Nucatola. Well, she recommended Russo to CMP's investigators. Remember, Nucatola was the Planned Parenthood abortionist who described altering abortions to a less crunchy approach, if necessary, so she could harvest specific organs as requested by her customers. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact, she said. And yes, Nucatola is the one who wants a Lamborghini. Well, back to Jennifer Russo. When CMP project lead director David DeLeiden asked Russo whether her Planned Parenthood affiliate performs a similar abortion procedure, Russo affirmed, "Yeah, we like to do that too." That? Well, just what is that? During the 8-minute interview taken just a year ago, Russo explains that her fellow abortionists are not injecting unborn children with digoxin. What is digoxin? Well, it's a poison intended to assure fetal demise, that means kill the baby, before the child's removal from the womb. We don't dig right now, Russo says. There's a nationwide shortage of dig. In this Brave New World vocabulary, dig means to poison, to death. Dr. Russo says that although her abortionists are trained to try to avoid delivering a child intact, well, it happens sometimes. It's pretty rare, she says. Well, why not, if they're so valuable? Well, apparently delivering an intact child whose life has not first been ended in the womb by injection may violate the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. After all, it often takes several hours for the baby to die after she is poisoned. According to Russo, once the aborted child has been removed, intact or not, the Planned Parenthood affiliate delivers the corpse to a couple of local biologics companies, Da Vinci Biosciences and its sister company DV Biologics, located in Yorba Linda, California. Documents indicate that they've been customers of the abortionists since 2008. They take the whole specimen, Russo beams. Later in the video, CMP investigators place a call to a Da Vinci sales representative who confirms the specimens the company sells are free from digoxin. It's a feticide-free. Considering that we have such a large catalog of fetal tissue, the representative says, I believe that would be a requirement for us in order to have so many fetal products available. And yes, it's true. Invoices CMP produces show Da Vinci charging $350 for a fetal liver, $500 for a fetal thymus, and $750 for an aborted baby's brain. Dr. Nucatola told CMP investigators the average asking price at abortion facilities for aborted tissue and organ samples was $30 to $100, so Da Vinci is operating at a hefty profit margin. Oh, by the way, the sale or purchase of human fetal tissue for, quote, valuable consideration, close quote, is a federal felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $500,000. According to Mr. DeLeiden, Planned Parenthood's political and PR cronies work overtime to cover up the revelations of its illicit baby parts trade. And Planned Parenthood's interstate criminal scheme to harvest and sell aborted baby parts continues without any transparency or accountability. The fact that a community like Orange County, California, is open for business for baby body parts makes clear the need for law enforcement and elected officials to hold Planned Parenthood accountable. As the Supreme Court prepares to hear a landmark abortion business regulation case, Planned Parenthood's baby parts scheme sends an urgent message about the critical need for states to have a strong regulatory authority over the abortion industry, DeLeiden said. This has been PRI Review from pop.org. Tune in next week to hear more reasons to defund Planned Parenthood from PRI's own Jonathan Abamonte. I'm Christopher Mannion. Thanks for listening.